St. Paul in today's epistle tells us, if I have not charity, I am nothing. And in the gospel, our Lord says, for the Son of Man shall be delivered to the Gentiles and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon, and after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One single glance from the holy face of our Savior. St. Peter, today's stational saint, knew its power well. It only took one look from Jesus, and Peter left everything behind and followed him. When Andrew announced to Peter that he had at long last found the Messiah, and then brought Peter to him, that gospel tells us in Latin, intuitus autem eum Jesus. In English, Jesus, looking at him, called this poor fisherman to be a fisher of men. And he left all to follow him. One look. Then, 3 years later, Holy Thursday, St. Peter swore and cursed and insisted that he did not know the man. And it took only one single glance of love from the holy face to bring St. Peter to tears of repentance. And then shortly after our Lord had risen from the dead, he appeared to St. Peter on Lake Gennesaret. And there he drew from St. Peter that threefold act of charity. Peter, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. This triple act of charity is the reason why in the olden days the Pope would go to St. Peter's to offer Mass on this day. And there, as we do here and all over Christendom, we hear the most elegant sermon ever preached on charity in today's epistle. St. Paul says it, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and should know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. More beautiful words on this subject have never been spoken by man. But because we are men, we sometimes need concrete examples in order to better understand abstract truths. And so we turn the page to today's gospel where we are given such a concrete example of the most perfect charity. Behold, our Lord says, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon, and after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. In the words of our Lord, in another gospel, greater love than this no man hath, that he lay down his life for his friend. And such love on the part of God only demands a great love on the part of man, a love which is not merely sentimental or passing, but practical and forever. St. Mary Magdalene of Pazzi once said, it is not fitting to be a delicate member of a head crowned with thorns and crucified. No. Charity makes us like unto the one whom we love. He who truly loves or has charity has a spontaneous desire to share in all the sufferings of the one loved. Mothers experience this all the time with their children. Spouses know this. Friends are able to comprehend this truth. But no one understands it better than the saints. Their charity for God made them desire to share in the sufferings of the cross of Christ. They longed for those pains. And that is why St. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." But charity brings us not only to desire to suffer with the one we love, but charity also seeks to console the one whom we love, should he be in suffering. It was the hour of Terce, that is approximately 9 o'clock in the morning, the day before Quinquagesima Sunday, when our Lord appeared to St. Gertrude the Great. He appeared to her in this way. He was tied to a pillar between two executioners, and one of them tore his sacred flesh with thorns. The other bruised him with a whip full of large knots. And both of these executioners struck his holy face, which was then so disfigured that St. Gertrude was filled with compassion. She said that as often as she recalled that image later that day, she wept because it seemed to her that no one had ever been so cruelly treated and used as was he. Even the very pupils of his eye were torn and swollen because of the thorns and the scourges. She then saw our Lord turn his face from side to side, but when he turned it away from one executioner, the other struck him even more forcefully. And finally, after this happening many times, our Lord looked at St. Gertrude, who was quite sad, and he said to her, "Haven't you read what is written of me? Vidimus eum tamquam leprosum." We regarded him, as it were, a leper. And St. Gertrude asked, "My Lord, what can we do to soothe the pains of thy divine face?" He gave her two responses. The first, to meditate on his passion. And secondly, to pray for the conversion of sinners. To soothe the pains of his divine face. That's what we should all be thinking about this Holy Face Sunday. The girls in the Sodality, just yesterday, we weaved crowns of thorns out of Play-Doh. And for the thorns, they used toothpicks. And for Lent, they will make sacrifices, however tiny they might be. And for each sacrifice, they will get to remove one of those toothpicks or thorns from the crown. And so console our Lord. And truly, how consoling that will be to our Lord in a world full of people who spit in his face openly and privately by their sins. He will finally find someone to answer his call. No longer will he be able to say, "I looked for one who would console me, and I found none." God grant that these little Sodality girls persevere in their Lenten sacrifices. It will be a great consolation to our Savior. Now, to one who suffers, it does a great amount of good to know that someone else cares. To be left alone to deal with one's own problems only adds to the weight of the cross. In a sense, this is why we meditate on the Passion, why we read books on that subject, why we walk the stations of the cross during Lent, to let Him know that we are with Him, that we will not turn our backs on Him. When the apostles were ordained on Holy Thursday, it was only about an hour later that they all ran away and betrayed our Lord when He was captured. How quickly we turn on our Lord. They didn't fully understand Christ's mission. They thought that His mission was something like that of an earthly conqueror, and that His mission was to restore the kingdom of Israel. They could not comprehend that He was born in order to die. And when He was captured, they fled. Had they understood better His mission, perhaps they would have remained with our Lord, consoling Him during His sufferings. And so, those who think about and meditate on the Passion are consoling our Lord by accompanying Him in spirit. You see, the more one thinks of the sufferings of Christ, the less likely we are to turn away from our Lenten sacrifices. So it not only consoles our Lord, it strengthens our resolve, so that we might say with St. Gemma Galgani, "Why did you suffer for me, dear Jesus? For love. The nails, the crown, the cross, all for the love of me. Therefore, for you, I sacrifice everything willingly." But our Lord asked St. Gertrude for one more thing to console Him, and that is to pray for the conversion of sinners. You know someone in need of conversion, perhaps someone very dear to you, very close to you. In any case, pick a soul to suffer for this Lent, and in order that the whole Passion of Christ be not in vain for that soul, unite your sacrifices, all of them, to our Lord's cross. Unite your fast with our Lord's, and offer all for the conversion of that sinner. And when you are tempted to break your resolution, tell yourself that that soul's salvation may very well indeed depend upon the prayers and sacrifices that you make. After all, it was the thought of your soul that pushed our Lord to complete His journey to Calvary. Each aching and weary step was taken for love of you, when He could scarcely walk at all. And so, when you become weary of your Lenten penances, see our Lord, His cross on His shoulders, in pursuit of that sinner's soul, and join Him. Do not leave our Lord's side until you have done all that you can this Lent for that soul. And what a consolation you will bring to our Lord in this way. So, to sum up, a single look, that's all it took from the Holy Face to convert St. Peter. And today, the Holy Face looks at us and announces that He is about to go up to Jerusalem, there to suffer for love of us poor sinners. Look Him in the face, so disfigured in His Passion, and resolve firmly to make this Lenten journey along with Him, and to offer everything for the conversion of sinners, and all to soothe the pain of his divine face. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.